The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse.
The beast.
We're told in the book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan. Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
They're here.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
From the heartland of America, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, everybody, and I'm feeling a whole lot better today, so please forgive us for being one day late. After all, yesterday was Mother's Day.
Yes, and happy Mother's Day to those of you who are mothers. And to you, if you have,
I'm sorry, but that just has so interest that that's got connotations that go back to my old rock and roll days.
Well,
but, we won't sing that song.
No, today is Monday, May 9th, 2011, and welcome to it. We live in a world of conspiracy, do we not?
Do we really? That's what you have to say, you and your friends.
Yes,
conspiring.
Yeah.
Perspiring.
You know, it was
inspiring.
It was after we recorded last week's program that President Obama took to the airwaves to announce that the United States had taken out public enemy number one, the man whose shadow has fallen across every political and national security discussion of the last 10 years, Osama bin Laden. Well, nearly everyone, anyway. And you think about it, though. Our daughter, who is now of legal age, lived just about half her life in the shadow of Osama bin Laden.
You know, when you put it that way, you can understand, I think, why so many 20-somethings were partying in the streets.
Going crazy.
Yeah.
At the University of Illinois, they celebrated last week Sunday with an Osama is dead bar crawl. Now, I'm sorry.
I have no response for that.
I am sorry, but that's just ate up.
That is wrong. That's just about as wrong as dumping his body into the sea.
Yeah, you got to love the story. It was done in accordance with Islamic tradition.
And then
Excuse me, this is a religion that's based in the desert. There's no ocean there.
And then you find out, yes, indeed, you find out that they are absolutely angry about that.
Sure.
And to some, it is more evidence that the United States is thumbing their noses at Muslims.
It was very quickly after, almost the next day after the announcement, that the major media had to begin addressing the question, how do we know this actually took place?
Now, isn't that interesting? Because you and I were asking that question within seconds. But
yes.
For the mainstream media to ask this question, I hate to say this, but maybe we have Donald Trump to thank for that. Somehow questioning Obama's sincerity has become mainstream because of Trump.
That's a really interesting thought. And that, of course, is one of the conspiracy theories around the death of Osama bin Laden, that, of course, this was all brought to light, that his death was made public to distract from the birth certificate that was released by the White House the previous week, which, as we've discussed last week, there's a high likelihood that this thing is bogus as well. Multiple layers in the image, the fact that Obama's father was listed as an African at a time in American history when black men and women were referred to as Negro.
And, the question whether or not Kenya was actually called Kenya at that time.
Yes. There are a number of reasons to suspect that this is no more genuine than the certification of live birth that was floated previously. So,
well, anyway. I posted a video to Facebook that I found really compelling. You know, again, I cannot say with certainty that it is a fake, but then I cannot say with certainty that you or I are even having this conversation.
Reference to X-Files there for those playing the home game. So anyway, the thing that's really interesting about the death of Osama bin Laden is how it's been received by the public in America, especially the talking heads in the evening news, because this is one of those rare occasions where you see the left and right essentially agree in agreement.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great day for America. And I think lost in that is the fact, and almost alone among the major media, Judge Andrew Napolitano of Fox News points out, hey, folks, we may all breathe a sigh of relief and feel some sense of justice, that justice has been done, or some sense of closure that Osama bin Laden is now dead, assuming that the story of his death is actually true and he wasn't actually frozen and then thawed and then dumped in the ocean, as some claim.
There's no body.
Yeah, right. As, you know, Louis Prima would have sung. We ain't got nobody. Sorry. Anyway, assuming that the story is correct and that Osama bin Laden was, in fact, taken out in a firefight at a compound in Pakistan last Sunday night, what Judge Napolitano points out, I think, is worth considering. He points out that this order by an American president, and we'll talk about whether or not the president actually gave this order in just a minute, but assuming that President Obama gave this order, it violated at least four international treaties, according to Judge Napolitano, three federal statutes, and the Constitution of the United States. It is illegal for the government of the United States to order the execution of private citizens. And before you say, this was an act of war, Congress has not officially declared war against Osama bin Laden or Al-Qaeda, or they've declared... They essentially gave the president
Tacitly declared it by giving them funding.
Yes.
But they've never, ever formally been asked.
The United States
exactly.
has not declared war since the beginning of World War II. The Congress of the United States. And our Constitution requires it. We did not declare war to go into Korea, Vietnam, Iraq the first time or the second time.
And there for a while, the government was very careful about its wording. They weren't calling them,
right.
you know, wars.
Korea was a police action.
Exactly.
Right.
However, with the Gulf, we have heard it called the Gulf War over and
sure.
over and over mm-hmm. again in the media. So we have been trained to
the
believe
Iraq
that
war.
We are somehow
yes.
in a legitimate war.
Right. So Judge Napolitano points out that this is unconstitutional, a violation of U.S. law and international law, a violation of treaties to which the U.S. is a party. It begs the question, who's next? If Barack Obama and or his successors are justified in ordering the execution of someone that they declare an enemy of the state, who's next? Vladimir Putin? The head of Chinese state-run oil company?
Muammar Gaddafi,
probably.
Mm-hmm.
Bashar al-Assad
yes.
of Syria, perhaps?
Yes. There's something going on in the streets
right.
of Syria that may not be homegrown.
Right. But the point is, and taking this a step further, we've talked about the official hit list that exists inside the White House. And we know it exists because the government, the administration, has admitted to it. And on this list, there is at least one United States citizen, and that is Anwar al-Awlaki, the Yemeni cleric who's considered now to be the head of al-Qaeda on the Arabian Peninsula.
Mm-hmm.
He was born in New Mexico, so he's an American citizen, and the Obama administration claims they have the right to execute this man without trial, without due process of any kind, and without oversight of Congress or the judicial branch. This is power worthy of a medieval king.
This is a police state.
Yes. This is exact. It was firsthand experience with this kind of power that led the framers of the United States Constitution to write checks and balances into the Constitution.
Exactly.
That prohibit this very kind of action. But because this is popular, because this is a popular execution, the American public are okay with it, and it's going to be used as a precedent for the next guy. And the next guy, and until they finally work their way down to people like, say, Glenn Beck.
He would love to be on that list. He'd love to think he's on that list.
Yeah, yeah. And most people who are hearing us discuss this right now are probably saying, oh, these people are nuts.
Well, maybe. I think we have a lot of very astute listeners who understand that we are being programmed constantly. And one of the big memes in the programming for 10 years has been Osama bin Laden is the evil one. He's the king of evil. He is the epitome. We've got to kill him. We've got to get him. And I think that, as you said earlier, those kids who have grown up with this, they are naturally running in the streets. And what scares me is that 10 years of being programmed, as you are growing up and your mind is forming, your opinions are forming, your spiritual life is forming, that you can be so soaking in it by that point that you would revel, have a bar crawl.
Yeah.
You know, when you hear that a human life has been taken by our government without any sort of trial, we've just killed somebody because we want it, because we claim that person is evil. He was never tried in regard to the 9/11 bombing, the towers.
Right.
He was never tried for that, not even in absentia.
Yeah.
So how do we know that they even got the right guy? And I'm putting air quotes around that.
Yes.
We don't.
Exactly. And this relates to the conversation I had with Andrew Hoffman last night, which will be featured this Friday night on A View from the Bunker.
Oh, good.
Yeah. We talked about propaganda. How do we know what we know? In many cases, we think we know the way the world works. We think we know the way the universe works. And when we actually step back and think, okay, now why do I think that Osama bin Laden is a bad guy? And we're not saying that he wasn't, okay?
No, he probably was, but assuming that he you know. Assuming he wasn't an actual invention of the CIA.
Right.
I reserve that as a possibility. I don't know exactly what I believe yet, but.
And the reason we can raise that question is because all of the information that we have about Osama bin Laden comes from the major media, and most of what the major media has was given to them, spoon-fed to them, by the government of the United States of America. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean the government of the United States is lying about Osama bin Laden, but it doesn't mean they're telling the truth either. We can point to numerous examples when the government has literally lied about something like this in order to justify a course of action. The government lied about the Gulf of Tonkin incident. This has been documented and proven now through the release of NSA documents in a Freedom of Information Act request. The second attack of the Gulf of Tonkin, the one that prompted President Johnson to go full tilt boogie into Vietnam, which led to 50,000 American deaths and the deaths of many, many thousands more Vietnamese, never happened.
Really ramped up the military-industrial complex, too.
Yes.
A lot of money was made on that war.
Going back even further, remember the Maine, the Spanish-American War. There's a lot of evidence to suggest that that was just an accident. But because people were told by, you know, through powerful media sources, newspaper in those days, that Spain was responsible. Well, we had to go out and get those guys.
The Lusitania.
And of course, we know about Operation Northwoods, where the chiefs of staff under Eisenhower and Kennedy were considering shooting down an American jetliner with a plane painted to look like it belonged to the Cuban Air Force to justify war against Cuba. So we know there are examples when this has happened in the past. And so we look at what we know about Osama bin Laden and say, how do we know
know what we know?
Yeah.
Because we're told.
Right.
Because the media tells us so.
Yeah. Who benefits? And that's ultimately the question you have to come back to.
Exactly.
Quibene. Well, so there is that. We will take it as given that Osama bin Laden has shuffled off this mortal coil. There was a very disturbing editorial op-ed piece written by a pastor from Florida that appeared at townhall.com over the weekend that was as bloodthirsty as anything I've seen in the major media. He basically said the only regret he had was that as an Orthodox Christian, the killing of Osama didn't take place on Easter or Christmas, and that TM6 didn't let him pull the trigger. And this is a Christian pastor with a national radio ministry. Please. Now look, and Judge Napolitano addressed this in his comments about the illegality of the action. As Americans, we have a sense of relief that this chapter of our history is now past, but we cannot look upon this honestly without saying, you know what, there's another aspect of this that's dark and disturbing that we need to recognize. As Christians, we need to recognize that Osama, assuming that Osama more than likely has received his ultimate reward, and unless he accepted Jesus Christ at some point, which seems unlikely,
exactly,
his ultimate reward is not one we should wish for anyone.
No, and to take that that's why I'm so against. It would be very difficult for me in any circumstances, and, you know, of course, if I'm tested on that, I don't know 100%, so don't send me emails. But I find thinking about taking a life so horrendous because, first of all, it's wrong, thou shalt not kill. But more than that, you have just made the decision for ending any possibility of mm-hmm. that person coming to Christ. You don't know, you know, the condition of that person's soul, and to say, I'm going to send you wherever you're going right now. That just sends mm-hmm. chills down my spine.
Well, you know, and we know from the Bible that there are times when war is required, and that, you know.
Yes, but we're also told, commanded to love your enemy.
That is exactly right. And that Lord makes very clear that vengeance is his. He will repay.
Mm-hmm.
But my point is, I'm just one of the things, many things in this life I'm thankful for is that I'm not in a position of that type of responsibility where I have to make life and death decisions about others or about people under my command. Which leads to another question that was raised by a report that is getting some attention as it's being copied and forwarded around the internet. And there's really no way to substantiate this. All we can do is repeat this to you, and then we can watch what happens from here on out. I'm talking about the report by Ulsterman, or the stories by Ulsterman.
Yes.
Posted at newsflavor.com.
So this is a supposed insider who's being interviewed by Ulsterman. We don't know. The whole conversation could be made up. We don't know.
Mm-hmm. Ulsterman has been posting for some time about political issues, and he's writing under a pseudonym, obviously. In recent months, he's been posting what he claims are interviews with a Democratic Party operative, an insider in the White House, who's very disturbed about the way things are going. And the story that this insider portrays of the decision to take out Osama bin Laden is very different from the one that the major media is reporting. Which is why I made the point earlier of saying, if in fact the president made the decision to eliminate Osama bin Laden, according to this White House insider, the decision was actually made by Leon Panetta without the president of the United States. According to this insider, President Obama, and we've talked about this before, he has always seemed detached or disinterested in the actual the actual day-to-day grind of governing.
He likes bathing in the warm, glowing, warming glow of adoration from people
right.
when he's out campaigning.
Right. And when you're campaigning, that's one thing. But when you actually then have to make decisions and stand on your record, and then the people who loved you 6 months ago or 2 years ago are suddenly saying, hey, you didn't close Gitmo, and you didn't get the single-payer option through on your health care plan, and you didn't end the war, you didn't get us out of Iraq, first thing, take it to the bank, like you said. That gets to be kind of mm-hmm. tiresome. And, you know, if I had my druthers, I'd probably go play golf. And I don't even play golf. Valerie Jarrett, according to this insider, who is a senior advisor to Barack Obama and has been an ally of his for years, has set herself up as the de facto president. She and Michelle Obama essentially make policy, and Barack kind of looks to them for decisions. That is according to this insider. Valerie Jarrett has reportedly opposed the assassination of Osama bin Laden because if things went wrong during the raid, or if they tried to use a Predator drone and accidentally killed civilians, well, you know, that would be really bad for the president's image and his approval ratings. So,
don't try because you might fail.
Exactly. And so when Leon Panetta and the Joint Chiefs of Staff went to the president, so we got really good intel, not 100%, but really good. We think we know where he is. the president hemmed and hawed and said, okay, well, we're not going to do a drone strike. We'll only do it if you can put boots on the ground to extract him, thinking, according to this insider, that that would be enough to keep Leon Panetta from making the decision and taking the responsibility on himself. They were wrong, apparently, because Mr. Panetta and others inside the White House, including Hillary Clinton, who's very frustrated with President Obama's inability to act, proceeded with the assistance of new White House Chief of Staff William Daley, who apparently
Bill Daley, the fixer,
who apparently has been put into the White House. You remember when Rahm Emanuel stepped down to run for mayor of Chicago, succeeding Bill's brother Richard Daley as mayor. Bill Daley was put in, and we noted at the time that Bill Daley had some pretty interesting credentials. He was a regional vice president for one of the big Wall Street banks, J.P. Morgan Chase. Apparently, and again, this is according to this White House insider, Bill Daley is there to protect the investment of the big money boys who backed Barack Obama with, what was it, $780 million in campaign cash?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was almost a million.
Yeah.
A billion.
Yeah. So they put Daley in, and Daley has essentially run interference and cut Jarrett more or less out of the loop. Panetta, Clinton, and James Clapper, the director of national intelligence, authorized the raid on their own authority and didn't notify President Obama until 24 hours into this 48-hour drama. When President Obama and Valerie Jarrett found out about it, they tried to abort the mission, and according to this insider, they were overruled. The President of the United States was overruled by the director of the CIA, the director of national intelligence, and the Secretary of State. This puts a whole nother spin on the story. Because if this is true, we've witnessed a coup inside the White House.
Yes, yes, exactly. That's exactly what has happened. You might even say that someone tried to shake off his puppet strings and had him yanked.
Right, right. Or you know, he was dancing to the wrong master's strings.
Yes, that's true. That's a good point, that somebody came in and grabbed the controls.
Now, again, we have to re-emphasize that there's no way for us to substantiate this story, to verify it. It's being published by a pseudonymous author, Ulsterman. I'll put a link in the show notes at PIDradio.com so you can read the articles in that kind of lay out this drama as it unfolded. But, you know, it fits with what we've seen of President Obama over the first 2 years of his presidency. He just doesn't seem when it came to health care reform, his big achievement as president, he basically pushed it off and let the Democrats in Congress write the bill.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually,
they didn't write the bill.
Well, yes. He gave it to Nancy Pelosi, and Pelosi let the lobbyists write the bill.
Exactly.
Right. And this president has taken, well, you know, we could go on, but it seems consistent with what we've seen of him so far. All we can do is, you know, just bring this out and then just watch to see if actions from here on out seem consistent with the story that's been reported.
Yeah, it's something for you to chew on. We'll give you a link to the website. You can go in and check it out, read the entire interview and other interviews that he's posted in the past. There are some others that are really, really interesting.
So anyway, there's that. And you know, it is funny because it seems consistent with the way we've described the world in which we live. The governments of the various nations, United States included, are not run by the people who actually make the decisions. They're essentially middle management for the boards of directors, who are, you know, people like, you know, the guys who get invited to the Bilderberg Group meetings,
mm-hmm.
or actually organize the Bilderberg Group meeting and things like that. Which, by the way, is coming up pretty soon. Is it? Where's it going to be this year? Greece?
I don't know.
Well, we saved the article here. Where was it?
Well, is it going to be just in time for Greece to pull out of the
Switzerland.
EU?
June 9th through 12th. And maybe that's where they make the final decision to kick them out. June 9th through 12th in St. Moritz, Switzerland. So that's put that on your calendar. I'm sure our invite is in the mail.
Is that during Father's Day? Is that Father's Day weekend, or is that second Sunday or third?
That is the second Sunday in June, yeah.
Yeah, well, there you go. Well, there's another website that I would like to mention just because I just recently found it, and I think it's a good site for you to check into now and then. Sybil Edmonds, you may remember that name.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, from the
FBI translator.
Yep, and she's the one who tried to be a whistleblower and was told, shut up.
Yeah.
She has her own website called boilingfrogspost.com. Mm. boilingfrogspost.com. And she has a top article, her top piece that she's written is about the Bin Laden death script that keeps changing.
Yeah, the story has changed a few times, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has.
He resisted. He didn't resist. He was armed. He was unarmed. He used his wife as a shield. She rushed the SEALs. She was killed. She was wounded.
He was in his jammies. He wasn't.
It's, yeah. He was living in a lavish estate. When you look at the pictures, looks like...
When you look at the pictures, that one picture that they show where he's sitting there watching himself, you know, mm-hmm. on the... No, he could have been watching SpongeBob, but no, he was watching himself on the videos. And you only see him from the back. There's no way to know that that's really Bin Laden sitting there watching genuine Bin Laden videos.
Mm-hmm.
The electric box, the plug, the outlet mm-hmm. that's on the wall, looks like a 110. I seriously doubt that they use 110 in Pakistan.
Well, somebody said that the electric in Pakistan is... I mean, that's why you need adapters when you travel overseas from the United States.
It's at least 220 or 240, or I don't know what it is over there, but I don't think it's 110.
Well, let me check on this and see
what it looked just like ours. Now, you know, what do I know? But I'm just telling you. I'm just saying.
Hmm. Well, I may not be able to find this out very quickly here, but yeah, it is... Hmm. Yeah. It gets back to how do we know what we know?
Well, we are told that, you know, we've always been at war with Oceania.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
All we know, I mean, we are not over in Pakistan. All we know is what we're told by the media,
mm-hmm.
what we can get on the internet, what we hear on the news.
Right.
That is all we know.
And we're not saying that we should be, you know, paranoid and not trust anything from anybody. We're just saying be discerning. I trust you. But ultimately, the only infallible source of truth is the Bible.
Amen. Amen.
But we watch the news and assume that what we're being told, because the newsreader has a nice haircut and speaks with perfect diction,
or
especially English accent. Yeah, if you want really want people to believe it, you know, bring in an English expert, because you know, nobody with an English accent lies. Cockney maybe, but no, not educated.
Oh,
you know,
yeah, no.
not BBC English. No, that
Scottish maybe.
But that is you just have to be discerning and then try to fit what you can verify into the data that you've collected to see if the data, if the theory fits, instead of forcing the data to
Speaking
fit.
Speaking of data.
Your conclusion.
I'm going to make a hard turn.
Star Trek?
Yes. Data from Star Trek. I put, by the way, PID News is back up and functioning, as so am I. You always know if I'm actually feeling well that day, because PID News either is updated or isn't. Now that the things are all moved in and stuff's on the walls, I have time to do it. But I posted an article to PID News today about computer programmers mm-hmm. who managed to actually make their computer schizophrenic.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
How do you make a computer schizophrenic? I'm a Mac. I'm a PC.
Let me go to the article here. Computer scientists induce schizophrenia in a neural network, causing it to make ridiculous claims. It claimed to be behind terrorist acts, is what the article says.
And this is the computer that confirmed on behalf of Al-Qaeda that Osama bin Laden is actually dead.
But it made me think of iRobot, where they go nuts.
Right,
of course,
right.
Hal from 2001.
Right.
Amy from, what is it, Mission to Mars?
Mission to Mars, uh-huh.
Yeah, the terraforming robot that
went
berserk. And many, many science fiction stories over the years.
Harlan Ellison.
Cars and everything goes nuts.
To the Terminator movies. Harlan Ellison.
So now we know they do go nuts.
Yeah, yeah. The whole Berserker series by Frederick Pohl.
Yeah.
So
when you think about it, we are essentially putting our lives on the line. We're being programmed
mm-hmm.
by programs.
Hmm. I'm sure there's something really deep that could come from that, but it's not really occurring to me at the moment.
No, but speaking of that, we're going to end with this story.
Okay.
It's a photo that you could find at Drudge Report today.
Oh, yes.
The boom, boom, bomb.
Shock photo, TSA looking for poop bombs. Either that or the kind inspectors for the Transportation Security Administration are helping to change the baby.
Into what?
Well, no way to know. Well, hey, wait, that's the wrong closing.
Hey, wait. What closing was that?
That's the one for View from the Bunker.
This is PID Radio, right? How do I know? Just because you're telling me, that's
why. I'm a Mac. I'm a PC. Until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, I think.
And so, no, wait, I'm not either.
Yeah, you are. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content copyright Gilbert House and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone. Say